Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Patent Infringement Venues Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 27, 2017, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in TC Heartland LLC v. Kraft Foods Group Brands LLC. TC Heartland LLC is organized under Indiana law and headquartered in Indiana. Kraft Food Brands LLC is organized under Delaware law, with its principal place of business in Illinois. Kraft sued Heartland in federal district court in Delaware, alleging that products Heartland shipped to Delaware infringed on Kraft's patents for similar products. Heartland moved to dismiss the claim, arguing that the federal court in Delaware lacked the necessary jurisdiction over Heartland's person, that is, personal jurisdiction. Alternatively, Heartland sought transfer of the case to a venue in the Southern District of Indiana. The district court denied the motion to dismiss, holding that Heartland's contacts with Delaware were sufficient to justify the exercise of personal jurisdiction. The court also denied the request to transfer venue, citing precedent in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, indicating that under 28 U.S.C. sections 1391 and 1400, venue for a corporate defendant, including in a patent infringement suit, is proper in any district in which the defendant is subject to a federal court's personal jurisdiction. Heartland then sought a writ of mandamus from the Federal Circuit ordering the district court to dismiss the case or transfer venue, arguing that Heartland did not reside in Delaware for purposes of the patent venue statute, 28 U.S.C. section 1400. The Federal Circuit denied the writ, indicating that the lower court had acted properly and that Congress's 2011 amendments to the venue statute did not provide cause to change the Federal Circuit's prevailing interpretation of the statute. The question now before the Supreme Court is whether the patent venue statute, 28 U.S.C. section 1400B, which provides the patent infringement actions, may be brought in the judicial district where the defendant resides, is the sole and exclusive provision governing venue in patent infringement actions. It is not affected by the statute governing venue generally, 28 U.S.C. section 1391, which has long contained a subsection C that, where applicable, deems a corporate entity to reside in multiple judicial districts. To discuss the case, we have J. Devlin Heartline, who is Assistant Director, Center for the Protection of Intellectual Property, and Adjunct Professor, Antonin Scalia Law School, George Mason University. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Heartline.
What makes the case so interesting is that the Supreme Court's decision could affect not only where practicing entities like Kraft Foods can sue for patent infringement, but also where non-practicing entities, the so-called patent trolls, can sue alleged infringers. Despite the fact that neither party to this case is by any means a patent troll, commentators quickly noticed that its resolution could keep many trolls out of the Eastern District of Texas, a supposed hotbed of troll activity. Indeed, many amicus briefs have been filed pointing out the broader policy implications of the case. And of course, there have been recent legislative attempts to rewrite the venue rules for patent owners. Assuming the Supreme Court declines to change the rules in this case, it's pretty safe to assume that Congress will once again propose such changes. While this case has interesting headline-grabbing ramifications for patent trolls, it is at heart a somewhat boring matter of statutory interpretation and the history of procedural law. My discussion will focus primarily on the legal issues in the case. I'll start with a brief explanation of how we got to where we are today, and then I'll turn to the party's specific arguments before the Supreme Court. On January 14, 2014, Kraft Foods sued TC Heartland in the District of Delaware for patent infringement. Heartland sold drink enhancers, concentrated liquids used to flavor drinking water, under the Refresh brand, among others. Kraft alleged that the containers used by Heartland to dispense these drink enhancers infringed three of its patents. Kraft is incorporated in Delaware with its principal place of business in Illinois. Heartland is incorporated in Indiana with its principal place of business in Indiana. Kraft argued that venue is proper in the District of Delaware pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 1391C, the general venue statute, and 28 U.S.C. 1400B, the patent venue statute. These two venue statutes are at the heart of this case. Traditionally, venue rules protect defendants from the inconvenience of traveling to remote destinations, far from the residence or the locality where the underlying acts took place. the general venue rules, which dictate the appropriate district courts in which an action may be brought, are found in Section 1391. 1391B includes substantive venue provisions, which establish venue in most federal civil suits. 1391C, by contrast, defines the residency of defendants, quote, for all venue purposes. At issue here is whether 1391C2, which provides that a juridical entity, such as a corporation, shall be deemed to reside in any judicial district in which such defendant is subject to the court's personal jurisdiction. Importantly, Section 1391C2 is not a substantive venue statute. That is, it does not establish venue. Instead, 1391C2 merely defines where a corporate defendant resides, and that definition is then applied to substantive venue provisions like the ones found in 1391B. The question in this case is whether the residency definition in 1391C2 applies to 1400B, the substantive venue statute for patent infringement suits. 1400B provides, any civil action for patent infringement may be brought in the judicial district where the defendant resides. If the residency definition in 1391C2 applies to 1400B, then patent owners can sue for infringement wherever a district court has personal jurisdiction over a corporate defendant, potentially in every judicial district for nationwide enterprises. In June of 2014, Heartland filed a motion to dismiss in the district court and asked for a change of venue from the District of Delaware to the Southern District of Indiana. Heartland argued that not only did it have no offices in Delaware, only 2% of its products were shipped into that state. Furthermore, Heartland argued that resides in 1400B refers only to the state of incorporation, and it is not to be supplemented by the residency definition in 1391C2. More than a year later, in September of 2015, the district judge denied Heartland's motion to transfer. The district court held that 1391C does apply to 1400B and that venue is appropriate for a defendant in a patent infringement case where personal jurisdiction exists. Heartland then turned to the Federal Circuit in October of 2015 for a writ of mandamus, ordering the district court to either dismiss or transfer the case. Heartland again argued that it does not reside in Delaware under 1400B. Numerous amicus briefs were filed in the Federal Circuit supporting both Heartland and Kraft. In April of 2016, the Federal Circuit denied Heartland's petition for a writ of mandamus, at one point stating that Heartland's venue arguments were, quote, utterly without merit or logic. The Federal Circuit reasoned that 1391C, quote, expressly reads itself into the specific statute 1400B and that it only operates to define a term in 1400B. Having lost at both the District Court and the Federal Circuit, Heartland next turned to the Supreme Court in September of 2016 for a writ of certiorari. Numerous amicus briefs were again filed supporting both parties. Despite the somewhat strange procedural posture of the case, a denied writ of mandamus on a denied motion to dismiss or transfer, the Supreme Court granted cert in December of 2016. Turning to the brief for the petitioner, Heartland, Heartland's primary argument focuses on the Supreme Court's 1957 opinion in Forco Glass, where the court explicitly held that the patent venue provision in 1400B is not to be supplemented by the provisions of 1391C. Indeed, the text of 1400B has not changed since Congress enacted it in 1948, and the patent venue statutes dating back to 1897 say essentially the same thing. Moreover, even before Forco, the Supreme Court had reached a similar conclusion interpreting Section 48 of the Judicial Code, the predecessor to 1400B, which provided that a patent owner could sue for infringement where the defendant was, quote, an inhabitant. In its 1942 opinion in Stonite Products, the court held that Section 48 is the exclusive provision controlling venue in patent infringement proceedings. Heartland argues that the Supreme Court has already addressed the very issue in this case, namely that the general venue rules do not supplement the specific patent venue rules. However, The monkey wrench in the modern doctrine traces back to the Federal Circuit's 1990 opinion in V.E. Holdings, where the appellate court held that the 1988 amendments to Section 1391C legislatively overruled FORCO. In 1988, Section 1391C was changed from a substantive venue statute, which actually established venue for a corporate defendant, to merely a definitional statute defining where a corporation resides, quote, for purposes of venue under this chapter. The Federal Circuit in V.E. Holding found that this alteration in 1391C radically changed the law, quote, we hold that Congress, by its 1988 amendment of Section 1391C, meant what it said. The meaning of the term resides in 1400B has changed. The Federal Circuit acknowledged that the same question was presented in FORCO, but it found that the reasoning of FORCO no longer applied. Whereas the version of 1391C at issue in FORCO conflicted with 1400B in that both statutes established venue, the Federal Circuit held that the amended version of 1391C no longer conflicted with 1400B, since the former no longer established venue. And the fact that 1391C expressly applied, quote, for purposes of venue under this chapter, referring to Chapter 87 of Title 28, which included 1400B, sealed the deal. Heartland argues that V.E. Holding was wrongly decided and that FORCO remains the law of the land. It points to the principle that Congress, quote, does not hide elephants in mouse holes, and says that V.E. Holding, quote, somehow found a huge elephant, indeed a revolution in patent venue, overturning more than 90 years of stable law, lurking in the smallest of mouse holes, an enactment that was not amending the patent venue statute. Heartland notes that V.E. Holding's understanding of resides conflicts with Section 1694, which authorizes service of process in a patent infringement action in a district where the defendant is not a resident but has a regular and established place of business. Under V.E. Holding, there could be no district where a defendant has a regular and established place of business but is not also a resident. Likewise, Heartland argues that the second half of Section 1400B is rendered superfluous for corporate defendants, since a corporate defendant will have a regular and established place of business wherever it resides. Heartland submits that the Federal Circuit's broad read of the patent venue rules, quote, has rendered patent plaintiffs uniquely able to file suit in districts chosen for their geographical remoteness from a defendant and for local norms and practices that tend to favor patent plaintiffs in various ways. It argues that the Federal Circuit's revisionist interpretation of Section 1400B has led to, quote, serious abuses of forum shopping, despite Congress's intent to prevent such abuses of nationwide venue and patent infringement litigation. Finally, Heartland contends that the 2011 amendments to Section 1391C repealed the very statutory language, quote, for purposes of venue under this chapter, upon which V.E. Holding rested. Moreover, the 2011 revision added a new subsection indicating that it applies, quote, except as otherwise provided by law, which Heartland contends includes the Supreme Court's precedent in FORCO. According to Heartland, since the Federal Circuit is an inferior appellate court, its holding in V.E. Holding was not settled law when 1391C was revamped in 2011. Turning to the brief for the respondent, Kraft responds that the question presented is answered by the 2011 amendments to 1391C. It argues that Congress did not intend, as Heartland suggests, to define residency, quote, for all venue purposes except patent venue purposes. Kraft contends that because Section 1391C's definitions of residence apply for all venue purposes, those definitions supply the meaning of the term resides as used in Section 1400B. Quote, it really is that simple. Kraft points to the history of the 2011 amendments, which emerged from a years-long reform project spearheaded by the American Law Institute, or ALI. According to ALI, it recommended, quote, sweeping revisions to 1391C in order to provide uniform definitions of residence that would apply to venue statutes throughout the U.S. Code, rather than undertake the, quote, challenging, delicate, and indeed agonizing process of amending individual venue statutes, AOLI suggested that the venue rules could be clarified by simply amending 1391C. AOLI noted that special venue statutes would not be displaced, as indicated by the prefatory phrase, quote, except as otherwise provided by law. However, AOLI explained that the residency definition would apply globally to all venue statutes, whether of general or special applicability. Turning to Heartland's argument that 1400B is not to be supplemented by 1391C, Kraft contends that this creates a loophole for foreign defendants. 1391C3 provides, quote, a defendant not resident in the United States may be sued in any judicial district. But if 1391C does not apply in patent infringement cases, as Heartland contends, then no venue would lie for many foreign defendants. To Heartland's argument that Kraft's interpretation of resides renders the second half of 1400B superfluous, Kraft responds that the clause provides a basis for venue in suits against individual defendants who are domiciled in only one district. Moreover, Kraft notes that such redundancies are not unusual where, as here, Congress decided to adopt a generally applicable definition of residence rather than parse through and harmonize hundreds of special venue statutes, and it points to other venue statutes with similar redundancies. Likewise, Kraft argues that the inconsistency with Section 1694 concerning service of process is simply the result of legislation that overhauled venue rules without touching service of process statutes. There was no need to change Section 1694, Kraft continues, because the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure already supply a means for service of process in a patent infringement case. And to the continued applicability of FORCO, Kraft argues that the result was driven by the legislative history of the 1948 recodification of Title 28, which showed that Congress intended 1400B to operate the same as it had under the predecessor version that was analyzed in Stonite. By contrast, Kraft contends that the 1988 and 2011 amendments to 1391C evince Congress's unambiguous purpose to define residency broadly for all litigants, and nothing suggests they should be disregarded as non-substantive. Turning to VE Holding, Kraft suggests that it is irrelevant whether the Federal Circuit correctly interpreted 1391C under the 1988 amendments. The only thing that matters here, Kraft continues, is whether 1391C under the 2011 amendments unambiguously provides the meaning of resides in Section 1400B. Kraft argues that the 2011 amendments to the venue rules, including 1391C, were not elephants hiding in mouse holes, since they were widely regarded as enacting far-reaching changes. Kraft rejects the suggestion that the Supreme Court should read the residency definition in 1391C narrowly in order to discourage forum shopping and the concentration of patent litigation in a few judicial districts. It argues that, quote, policy arguments cannot justify ignoring the statute's plain text, and that resurrecting FORCO would not materially decrease the concentration of patent litigation, but it would rather, quote, merely reshuffle the ranking of the most common forums. Moreover, Kraft points out that such a restrictive definition would create new problems, for example, by requiring patent owners to file duplicative lawsuits if infringers are incorporated in different states. Such changes to the venue rules should come from Congress, Kraft contends, which is better positioned to address the policy concerns and which can adopt more tailored reforms. Kraft argues that Heartland's approach to the venue rules is out of sync with modern venue principles, since Congress has repeatedly expanded the definition of corporate residence to bring the venue laws in tune with modern concepts of corporate operations. Since the Federal Circuit's rule about patent venue is the same rule that applies generally in non-patent cases, Kraft rhetorically asked, quote, why the loud protests about forum shopping here? If anything, Kraft suggests that the real problem may be the Federal Circuit's approach to personal jurisdiction, which upholds specific jurisdiction when infringing products are shipped into a forum through established distribution chains under the so-called stream of commerce theory. Though Heartland also complained in the courts below about this theory of personal jurisdiction, Kraft notes that Heartland chose not to petition on it here. Lastly, Kraft points out that none of the current legislative proposals for amending the venue rules are as restrictive as the Supreme Court's rule in Forco, and it notes that these proposals are carefully calibrated to eliminate forum shopping by non-practicing entities without dramatically restricting venue choices to other types of plaintiffs. Kraft concludes that while current patent venue system may be imperfect, Heartland's proposed cure is worse than the disease. The case itself has drawn much attention because its outcome will determine where all patent owners, including patent trolls, may sue for infringement. More than two dozen amicus briefs have been filed in the Supreme Court at the merit stage, with Heartland receiving a few more in support than Kraft. Despite the case ostensibly turning on the pure issue of statutory construction, the bulk of the amicus briefs make policy arguments. Many of the briefs focus heavily on the practice of forum shopping, where patent owners choose to sue in the forum they think will give them the best chance of success. Much attention is given to one particular forum, the Eastern District of Texas, where many non-practicing entities, or NPEs, bring infringement suits. Heartland supporters see this as a chance to shut the trolls out of Texas. Kraft supporters, on the other hand, argue that the Supreme Court is the wrong branch of government to rewrite the patent venue rules.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.fedsoc.org/multimedia.